You're listening to the Crochet Conversations podcast with Ines and Mel, and this is episode 52. Exactly how much is crochet worth? Part 2. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode.
Hi, guys. Welcome back.
Did you realize I said this is episode 52? Which means this is our 52nd episode. And if it's one episode a week, it means it's 52 weeks. Which means
it's happy a year. Anniversary.
It's 1 year of doing this. I couldn't even find the words for a moment. Like of having a podcast, of doing a podcast, of putting up weekly episodes.
Yeah.
I was going to say without fail, but that's not really true because 2 weeks ago we didn't have 2 episodes, right? But it's 52 separate episodes that if you wanted to listen to each episode every week, there would be 1 year. One full year. That's insane to me. Let me first say that I really appreciate you guys being part of this journey with us. Because when we first started this, I really didn't know where it was going to go.
It was just an idea, right?
To talk about crochet. We didn't have a plan. We didn't have any, like, there was no big game plan. We just wanted to have a platform to talk and share things.
Yeah.
And I think
I guess we didn't really think about whether it's going to be a long-term thing or anything like that.
Yeah,
right?
It was really one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
1 week after another.
Yeah.
One episode after another. And I think pretty soon we started receiving messages. I think within the first 10 or 20 episodes. I think the first 10 episodes.
Yeah.
We started receiving nice messages from you guys saying that you listen to the podcast. And I kid you not, our reactions to these messages in episode 10 versus episode 50 is the same.
Yeah.
We still get excited and ecstatic when people actually talk to us and tell us where you're from because you listen to the podcast wherever you are. And I think that's absolutely insane. So we are very grateful and blessed that we actually have like a community of people that as of this moment,
the love and support is just so overwhelming, you know.
Yeah, and it's 20,000 strong of overwhelmingness.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like 20,000, no, I think the number is a little bit more, I'm not quite sure, I have to check, but it's like in the tens of thousands of listeners.
Mm.
And that to me is incredibly insane, and to think that we've done this in the past year with no additional funding is also insane.
Yeah.
And this is not like to say anything on you guys, it's really a pat on the back for us because we really wanted as much as possible to keep all the irritating advertisements out of it.
Yeah.
And I think we did it for a year, and that's insane.
Yeah, it really is insane, and I think it's amazing how, you know, we can do this in Singapore and be able to have
to reach
international listeners like you guys as well. And I think it's just so amazing, right?
I agree. And on top of that, and I stick by my decision as of right now, I'm not sure in the future, to not include advertisements and whatever in this podcast because I really wanted it to feel like a conversation. And as a friend, I'm not going to talk to you about something and go, by the way, if you sign up using this link on my code, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
But then you guys come to me and, you know, I don't think I've talked about this, but you guys are international from the UK and from different places in the US have bought class packages with me. And it's just, it's thrown my schedule upside down in the most amazing and wonderful way because now I get to connect with people in different time zones.
Yeah.
And it's also a way of you guys supporting me. So I really appreciate that. And I just, I don't intend for this to be too long, but as of this moment, it's like going on to like 5 minutes. So again, thank you guys.
Thank you so much, you guys.
We're just really, really excited that it's been one year.
Yeah, 1 year.
Of podcast episodes.
Yeah, and definitely for those that have followed us throughout, all the way from the first episode all the way to 52nd episode. Yeah. Yeah, you guys are amazing.
And if you're listening to this episode in the future, if you're not following week after week, and if you've only recently discovered us, these people are not likely to come to this episode yet. So if you, by the time you reach this episode, you know, send us a message and tell us in what year you're listening to. Oh my god, that's so freaky things. We're talking about like future stuff, right? So send us a message and tell us what year you're listening to this episode, if it's not in 2022.
Yeah.
So, okay, with that out of the way, You will notice that today's episode is going up
a day earlier.
And it's not because it's 1 year of our anniversary. It's because I wanted it to go up a day earlier to remind you guys to come down and see us, especially if you are based in Singapore. Because we will be attending this event called Public Garden. It's happening on the 11th of 12th June, so that's Saturday and Sunday, today and tomorrow, from 1 p.m. till 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And Public Garden is basically an art fair showcasing like regional artists from around the Asia Pacific region, and we are one of the brands that was given or we were allowed to participate.
Yeah. And selected brands,
yeah. And so we'll be here today and tomorrow. Obviously, we're pre-recording this on Friday. So we'll be here Saturday and Sunday at Suntec City Hall 404. So I'm not sure where we'll be yet. So just come along and, you know, stroll. And even if you don't end up finding where we are, at least you get to support other
local regional small business artists
who create things with their hands. So Public Garden, in case you guys don't know, have a very strict criteria about which brands they approve to be part of their exhibition.
Yeah.
So it has to be entirely, there has to be some handmade element. You can't buy and sell. You can't, like if you design like pins or enamel pins or whatever, you have to be the one designing it. And you have to submit proof of your work that you handmade or design.
You do have to be sort of an established brand. You need to have a brand and a presence online and something like that.
Yeah, which is why they charge you almost $400 Singapore dollars, to own a booth for 12 hours in total. So it's 11 to 12 of June, which is a Saturday and Sunday, from 1 p.m. till 7 p.m. at Suntec City Hall 404. So if you've been following along to this couple of episodes, how much exactly is crochet worth? It's a two-part series, only because we didn't expect to go over the time. You know, after a year of doing this, you think that we would get our timing down.
Yeah.
But in fact, the longer we do this, the more we ramble on and the more we need to do part twos.
Yeah.
So I think we should start off this episode by doing a little recap of what we talked about in the previous episode, in case you didn't listen to it or you need just a little refresher. And I think it's important that we refresh people's memory about what was said in the previous episode, so that moving forward, this episode kind of makes sense, because even we had to do a little bit of reading to make sure that we cover the right information. And the follow through is perfect from the last episode to this.
Yeah, and also because we do like state some numbers, so it'd just be easier for us to follow from that.
So the reason for these two episodes is because we've always heard about people saying that crochet is so expensive, but we don't exactly know why it's so expensive, or even if we do know, we don't have a concept of just how quickly the numbers add up. Because I guess to a lay person who doesn't crochet and wants to buy something, $10 per ball of yarn doesn't seem like a lot, and they think you only need at most 2 balls of yarn to make anything, which they don't understand that in crochet, the reality is you're using 6 to 8 or 9 or 10 balls of yarn to create one thing. So the numbers add up really quickly. Not to mention the tools. So in the previous episode, we broke down the raw cost of tools, as well as how much yarn you would need for small, medium, large, and extra large items. And we broke down what those items were and what the numbers were. So I'm just going to quickly do a summarization. Is that a word?
Yeah. Yes, you can say that.
I will summarize these previous episode in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
So that moving forward, we have a good idea of what we're talking about. Okay. So raw cost. And by raw cost, I mean we're still buying things at the store. So if you're a person looking to crochet a cardigan, raw cost is you just buying the materials on its own. So you haven't even begun to start working yet. You've just gone out to buy the tools and the yarn. So that would be the crochet hook, which we have valued at about $10. And we're trying to be modest here. Some crochet hooks can be cheaper, some can be more expensive. So across the board, if we were to even the cost out, these are the numbers that we think make sense. So a crochet hook would be $10. Stitch markers would be $5. darning needles would be 5 and a swatch ruler would be also 5 approximately. Yeah. So that works out to be about $25 in tools alone without the yarn. And everything in this episode, as per previous episode, we're going to talk in Singapore dollars. So just to give you guys an idea of what that conversion rate looks like in the US and the UK respectively, every one Singapore dollar is 70 cents USD mm-hmm. and 60 cents, so 60p, in British pounds.
Pounds, yeah.
So $1, 70 cents USD, okay? And then 60 cents in British pounds. So small items, we've calculated the cost to be about $35.
Mm-hmm.
That's $25 in tools and one ball of yarn. So that's, if one ball of yarn is $10, then that's 25 and 10. For medium-sized items that you need maybe about 2 balls of yarn, that's $20 in yarn, $25 in tools, that's $45. Just for the materials alone.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the small items would be like small pouches, small beanies, handphone cases, maybe a small basket. The medium-sized items would be about like shawls, maybe like a crossbody bag, something small that you can complete within 2 balls of yarn.
Mm-hmm.
Now moving on to the larger items, these would be blankets, small crop tops, maybe like a summer top, maybe like a smaller adult shawl, maybe a cushion cover. These would need about maybe 4 balls of yarn, that's mm-hmm. $40, plus the tools at $25, that's $65 freaking dollars. And then you move on to the XL size, so the extra large projects that need between 6 to 8 balls of yarn. And this is where we start moving into clothing territory. Because crochet clothing takes a lot of yarn, and you know, depending on what you're making, a regular top could be 6 balls of yarn. A dress could be 12 balls of yarn, so we've approximated it to 6 to 8 balls of yarn. So if all your tools cost $25, 6 balls of yarn would be $60, and 8 balls of yarn would be $80, right? So that works out to be about $85 in total for 6 balls of yarn, and $105 in total for 8 balls of yarn. These would be tops, cardigans, more complex tops with sleeves. And I mentioned this in the previous episode that sleeves take so freaking much yarn.
Surprisingly, yeah.
You don't realize how much yarn sleeves take. So it's something that I'm also discovering. So yeah, if you're making a top, a blouse with sleeves, then you need to budget in 3 additional balls of yarn for the sleeves alone.
Yeah, so we were just, you know, in the last episode, we were just talking about how, can you imagine buying a top, normal top that you wear, and it's $100, yeah, you know, easily
in cost price alone. So that was what we talked about in the previous episode. And also, I'm not gonna summarize this here today, but in the previous episode we also talked about how much it would be on top, how much extra we would have to pay if we were to market it, put it on the website, website fees, Etsy seller fees, or any of these platform seller fees. If you're paying with a credit card and the credit card charges you a certain amount to help finance your transactions.
Yeah, basically the other important operating expenses.
Yeah. And we also talked about in the previous episode how it's not plausible for crochet artists like us to get yarn at manufacturers' price because of the really high MOQ. So if you haven't listened to the previous episode, I highly, highly, highly suggest you go listen to that one first and then come back to this episode. So now that we have established that summary, let's talk about how to calculate the true value of my time and effort put in to create this crochet thing. Because we've talked about the price of it and what it costs when you buy it from the store.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you have these raw materials, what are you going to do with it? And how do you calculate your worth and your time?
Yeah.
Basically, how do you charge so that the price matches your value? And in the previous episode, I talked about having a formula.
Yeah.
I'm not as confident in my formula as I was last week, but I'm hoping it works. And I'm hoping that at least, even if it doesn't actually calculate anything like accurately, I hope it highlights the different things that you should take note of when you are thinking about how to price your items.
I think it's also important to highlight that you definitely should put a value to the work that you put into making or producing something, right? That obviously we talk about the cost of the material. So now, you know, there needs to be a value to the work, to the magic that you were talking about into making the things.
Yeah, so in the previous episode, I talked about how we take the raw materials and we apply our magic and it becomes a top.
Yeah.
So what is the cost
of that magic?
Of our magic,
yeah.
Right? So I guess this episode, you know, I talk about a formula that's going to help us.
Yeah.
And it's not a crazy formula, but let me tell you preliminarily what I have in my mind. So the formula is kinda, okay, the cost of materials plus the minimum wage times the number of hours it takes for you to make it plus your experience.
Yeah.
That sounds like a mouthful.
It does. It does. But I think these are, you know, very important factors that you should consider when you're pricing things, right?
Yeah. And the reason why we have come up with this formula is because the cost of materials will differ from the project to project. So this one really is, we have no way of predicting what that is. But what we can control is how many hours goes into the work. You know,
yeah.
We can, obviously, when we say 20 hours, we're not sitting down 20 hours straight.
Straight, yeah.
It could take us, you know, 3 hours a day or 2 hours a day, and that's over a course of 10 days, maybe not excluding weekends and whatnot. So that would maybe be a 2 week turnover time.
Yeah.
And obviously this differs from artist to artist, depending on how busy or how packed their schedule or commissions list is. But at the very least, you as a listener have an idea of how many hours goes into making one garment. And I'm going to generalize that it takes approximately 20 hours. Obviously, if you want something a little bit more complex, it would take more hours. And this is really up to the discretion of the crochet artists themselves.
Yeah, of course.
And then we want to talk about your experience. And I mean, if you want somebody who's new to crochet to make you a top versus somebody that's very experienced to make you a top, it goes without saying that the one that's very experienced would give you something of a higher quality.
Yeah.
So you want to pay for that as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, an example that I thought of for, you know, if you go for a haircut, then there's different hairdresser, right?
Dressers, they have different prices.
Exactly. If you go to somebody who is
very nail techs, you know.
Yeah, right.
If you go to a nail tech that's just practicing from the home garage, then maybe they won't charge you so much. But if you go to a really premium, really, really experienced, somebody with 25 years of experience under the belt, of course they're going to charge you for their time and experience. And, you know, along with that comes safety and longevity of the project or product that you receive, be it your nails or your haircut or a crochet top,
yeah,
right, or a crochet dress. And then there's this final, you know, element, which is minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And we really debated talking about minimum wage because it's such a, if we were to go by minimum wage, nobody would ever buy our crochet anything. Nobody would ever buy it, okay? And this was, you know, in the previous episode I talked about how the numbers got me really like upset.
Yeah.
Or not depressive, but it got me really down and started like playing in my head how much we are really earning and whether it's worth it and should we just give it all up. And these are this numbers that I'm about to present to you guys are those numbers, and it's a really depressing sight.
Yeah,
to see.
I guess because when we started looking at minimum wage, right? And then we like calculated again based on that and comparing to what we are sort of getting, you know, in comparison to the minimum wage, it's really, really low. So I think that's what you're saying, that, you know, it makes it very difficult, you know, the number.
And so I talk about minimum wage because it's the easiest to understand.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you are your own business owner, if you are the crochet artist, you are in charge of that price, you can choose to put a value that you are comfortable with. And if you are comfortable charging it at a different price that's lower than the minimum wage, then obviously that's your prerogative and that's your agreement with your customers. And everyone has their own definition of it, of how much they think their value or they're comfortable to earn, as well as locationally it plays a part where you're from.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's present some numbers now. So in Singapore where we're from, also again keep in mind that we're presenting this in Singapore dollars. In Singapore, the recommended minimum salary is $1,400 a month. So if we do the conversion, it's about $1,015 USD. So that's $1,015 USD or £813.
Right.
So that's the minimum recommended sort of minimum wage. So if I break that down to, let's say, 8 hours a day by 5 days a week, that's 40 hours per week. That's 160 hours per month.
Mm-hmm.
So that works out to be about $8.75 per hour in a month.
Right.
So that's kind of like the equivalent of our minimum wage. And it's not any different. This is, of course, assuming you're working full-time. If you're working part-time, it's $9 an hour. So, I mean, between $9 and $8.75, it's...
Yeah, the average is about the same.
Yeah, it's not any different. Now, the minimum wage in, let's say, the US and the UK is based on our research. I think like the different states are allowed to dictate what their minimum wage is. But if it's not stated, then the general minimum wage across the whole country is $7.25 on the hour.
Right.
And then in the UK, that's £9.18. So that's $9.18 in pounds. So that's about the same as us.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So $9 an hour. Oh my goodness. When I saw that number in my mind, I was immediately doing the math. Like $9 an hour? If it takes me 10 hours, how much am I supposed to charge? Oh my god, $90? I can't ever charge that price. On top of that, that's like not even including the material cost.
Yeah.
And then my mind just went
You're just doing that mental calculation. The math. Right.
Yeah. And then it occurred to me, oh my goodness, I am undercharging.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I'm comfortable to undercharge a little bit because I work out of my home studio, so I don't have an extra cost. I don't even have a workshop place that I can offer clients or customers. They come to my home studio. But then again, the reduced amount that I'm willing to offer is not...
It's very reduced.
It's the amount that I'm actually earning is not even half that or double that.
Right.
So... let's do some math, okay? If it works out to about $8.75 per hour for minimum wage in Singapore, 10 hours of working on any project would be $87.50.
Okay, yeah.
20 hours, so let me give you an idea. A crochet top, a simple crochet t-shirt would take about 20 hours. That's $175 if we go by minimum wage alone.
$175.
And 20 hours in the crochet world is not a very big project.
Yeah.
It's not. You can complete 20 hours across the span of 3 days, maybe. No, maybe 4 days.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Three or five days. If you work like a mad person and take no breaks. But it's possible to complete your 20 hours within 8 hours a day. 7 hours a day, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now, if a project is going to take me 30 hours to crochet, by minimum wage standard, I should be earning $262.50 for a project that's going to take me 30 hours.
Right.
262.
Yeah.
And on bigger projects...
even bigger projects.
Like the XL size projects is going to take me 40 hours. That's $350 I have to earn.
Yeah.
Then I'm not earning.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to pay that amount.
Yeah, I mean, like, think about it. If someone were to come to you and say, hey, I want you to crochet me a blanket, an adult-sized blanket, for example, and that would fall under the XL portion, mm-hmm. right, of the size of the project.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately you are already thinking, based by minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
you should be, just for labor costs alone, you should be paying me $350, excluding the cost of the material.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, who's going to pay that amount, right?
And I'm thinking about, you know, as a student, when I was doing an internship, to be paid $500 a month was, you know, it was already, like, so little.
Yeah.
Sorry, $500 a week.
A week.
It was like so little already. And this was in a theatre company.
Yeah.
And everybody was complaining. There were some other places that were only offering them $150 a week in internship fees. To earn $350 a week in internship payment seems acceptable. It seems, you know, it seems okay.
Like reasonable, yeah.
But what if you're asking somebody who's very skilled in their craft, who know what they're doing, with 10 years of experience, or I don't know how many years of experience, okay, who's not an intern, to do the same work as an intern, but to only get $350 a week?
Yeah.
Who, like, hands up right now, not that I can see, but hands up, who would agree to that?
Yeah.
As a working adult, a professional.
A professional, yeah.
Who has years of experience under their belt. Like, if you don't accept it from a regular corporate job, why do you expect artists to take it just because that's all you're willing to pay? You know, so that was what was really... That was what
like got frustrating, me. Right? Yeah.
That was what really frustrated me. So, let's not even talk about experience. So, when I was discussing this with Mel, we thought that a good number would be about $10 for every year of my experience.
Yeah.
So if it's my first time doing crochet, I'm not going to charge any experience fee. But say if I have 1 year under my belt, maybe you could consider charging $10 extra on top of everything else.
Yeah.
So if you want a little pouch, maybe. If I have 1 year of experience making pouches, I can charge whatever that cost is, an additional $10. So for someone like me, who has 10 years of experience, how is there a cap to that number? Or do I charge you $10 a year of experience times 10 years of my experience and then I charge you $100 on top of everything? This yeah. number could just go on and on.
Exactly.
Even if that's not the case, even if I'm only charging you $5, that's still $50 extra.
Yeah.
And that's still a lot of money because yeah. we talked about, you know, how a top could be... You know, could be $100, $105 in materials cost alone.
Yeah, that's true. Like, even if you don't consider the first 5 years of your experience as anything.
As anything, yeah.
You know, and then you only count the next 5 years on top of that, that's still $50. Yeah.
So if I buy $100 for 8 balls of yarn to make, say, a long sleeve sweater,
uh-huh.
a large XL long sleeve sweater for somebody.
Yeah.
It's $100 right off the bat for materials and then another $50 for my experience alone.
Yeah.
Not even including the time it takes me to make the thing. Who is willing to pay that amount because you're paying mm-hmm. like $200, $150 right off the bat?
Yeah.
And people would rather not do that. They would rather go to those fast fashion stores mm-hmm. like Zara and H&M and Topshop and whatever not, and get something that's like cheap and around that price range, but yeah. it's trendy and I don't know what else, right?
Yeah.
So those are depressing numbers, and I think you can hear it in my voice because that's really depressing numbers. So let's do some calculations, okay? Based on minimum wage, if I'm making a cardigan, like I said, that's $105 in materials cost alone. And then it takes me 40 hours to make that. By minimum wage standard, 40 hours, I should be earning $350.
Okay.
For that alone.
Uh-huh.
So you pay $105 for the materials, plus $350, I should be charging you that cardigan at $455.
Right.
That is insane. It's $500,000.
Yeah.
But then again, there are lots of boutiques that obviously buy their knitwear that are selling it for $300 and $350.
Yeah.
And people know that it's made in, you know, sweatshops.
Okay, yes.
And so they complain that, oh, for a machine made something, you shouldn't charge me that price. Okay, great. So now I will actually hand make it for you and then you pay me this price. Yes or no? And the answer is still
no.
It's still yeah. no, because in general, people don't want to part with that amount of money from their pockets, no yeah. matter what it is.
Yeah.
So, maybe let's not go so crazy. Let's talk about something that's easier to understand. Let's say a regular crochet blouse.
Okay.
That is in materials cost alone would be $65. So it's, you know, substantially lesser than a cardigan that was at $105.
Yeah.
So this project is half the complexity. It takes half the time. So instead of 40 hours, now this regular crochet blouse would take me 20 hours.
Right.
So by minimum wage standards, a 20-hour project should earn me $175. plus $65 for materials cost, that's $240 that you should be paying me for a crochet
for a
blouse.
Yeah.
Would you do that?
You know, to be honest, I've seen like really good handmade stuff out there before, like you mentioned, boutique places and all mm-hmm. that. To see, maybe because I know like what goes into making the item. Yep. 240, you mentioned 240,
yes.
right? I think that sounds pretty reasonable to me, to be honest. Yep.
And to me too, which is why if I come across something that's handmade by someone,
yeah.
I will pay that amount because I know that's what... But you see, we have an advantage in the sense that we are also makers. So we see a little bit better yeah. another maker's point of view. And we want to support other makers too.
Exactly, yeah. And I think we always make the reference, I believe we have mentioned this before, on how high-end brands, mm-hmm. they are technically all handmade products as well,
yeah.
made by real specialists, like people in the industry that have been working for many yeah. years, you know.
And this is, yeah, and this is a really good point that I like to, because, you know, Mel listens to me ramble all the time, and I like to bring up facts and statements, and it really upsets me when people are okay to pay, you know, $2,000 for a Dior suit, when Dior is handmade.
Yeah.
But it's the idea that if it's handmade, it's not as good as a factory made something. You know, they think it's about consistency of product, one item after another, if they can get it done through a machine.
Yeah.
But they don't think about only with certain brands they're willing to fuck up money for handmade anything. You know, like Dior's suits are handmade. So every single piece is hand stitched, hand sewn.
So,
it's
yeah.
hand sewn to finish. You know, the seams are felted, the everything is handmade. In fact, when you buy a suit at, say, a place like Dior, for example, all the hems come unfinished because it's supposed to be tailored to you.
Yeah.
Now, when I crochet you a top, I offer that same level of quality and
Same level of service.
Yeah, and when yeah. I say we, I'm referring to all crochet artists out yeah. there, because we all, each one piece is individually tailored and sculpted to fit your body type
yeah.
and what you want. And it takes the same amount of effort. I put in the same amount of work
hours, yeah.
and hours to give you something that is also unique and one of a kind. And yet you're not willing to pay because the perceived value of crochet is that it's grandma. And it's not like a high-end luxury brand. So
yeah.
I'm not willing to fork
out
this
like
amount.
Either or, you know, I will pay if it's a luxury brand that they have marketed that way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the product that you're getting, it's... You know, like you mentioned, the same effort, the same
yeah.
amount of
and
work
that, really,
that goes into
and
it.
And that really frustrates me because it really highlights how superficial the society
yeah.
can be sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't wanna let this episode start getting a bit too jaded, because you know how I can get when it comes
right,
to
right,
things like that.
Right.
I get really frustrated and angry and jaded about society and the world because I'm very introverted that way. So I don't wanna let it go down that direction.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's something to think about.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's also talk about the cost of smaller items. So
mm-hmm.
let's maybe not talk about something so big like a cardigan or a top. Let's talk about something small in terms that we can understand. And, you know, most likely, most of the time, the smaller items are the ones we get commissions for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's calculate this cost
okay.
on small items, okay? We have a small pouch. Let's say somebody buys a small pouch for us with one ball of yarn. That's $25 for materials and one ball of yarn. $10, that's $35.
Okay.
If it only takes me 1 hour to make, by minimum wage, that's about $9.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be paying me $44 in total for a small pouch.
Okay.
A small pouch. I know by experience that nobody wants to pay that amount.
They'll probably be willing to part with like half of that amount.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Probably.
They only want to pay $20 for a handmade crochet pouch.
Yeah.
A small one.
Yeah.
Now let's say if it's a beanie, $25 for the cost of tools, and let's say I need 2 balls of yarn for a beanie, that's $20. So 25 and 20, that's $45 for the materials cost alone.
Yeah.
Now I think a beanie would take me on average about 6 hours to make. So 6 hours, by minimum wage, I should be earning $54. So you should be paying me in total $99.
For a beanie, yeah.
For a beanie. And nobody's going to pay $100 for a beanie.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's talk maybe about tote bags. because these are the things that we get most requests from.
Yeah.
Tote bags, $25 again for the cost of tools, and I would need about 4 balls of yarn, so that's $40. So that works out to be about $65, and it will take me 10 hours, I think, on average, to make a beanie.
A tote bag. Yeah.
So that's $90, so you should be paying me a total of $155 for a tote bag.
Yep. That sounds about right.
I cannot foresee it being received well, and it makes me angry on behalf of all crochet artists, because it shouldn't be our responsibility to try to make it cheaper for you. If you come to me with a commission, you should be willing to pay the price, provided it's reasonable. Of course, I'm not going to charge you $1,000, you know, for a tote bag to be crocheting gold. You know, if that's what you want, then you have to pay the amount. But, you know, reasonably, of course, you know, there are some dishonest or greedy crochet artists, I'm sure, who would want to overcharge you for that. And for, you know, they might want to charge every single thing into your order. But, you know, you have to be a little bit more discerning. But I think $99 for a beanie, $155 for a tote bag, based on minimum wage and calculation, based on one crochet hook per project, right, one everything per project.
Like the minimum that you would need to complete this thing, yeah.
Yeah. And let's say, even if I don't include the $25, let's say I take the $25 for all my tools and crochet hooks. Let's say I already have this crochet hook and I don't have to buy another one, or I just treat it as sunk cost.
Yeah, like an investment sort of.
Yeah, like an investment, so I don't transfer that cost to you. Even then, a beanie would be $20 for 2 balls of yarn. We won't include $25. 6 hours for my work. By minimum wage is $54. Okay. You should still be paying me $74.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of money.
Yeah.
And let's say in the same for a tote bag, instead of $155, if I take away the $25 for the materials cost, you should still be paying me $130.
Right.
People want to pay $20 for a tote bag.
Yeah.
Or worse, they tell me I can get it for free.
Profit from where?
From, you know, because you know companies like to give out tote bags, right, as free gifts or whatever, yeah, and they think it's being sustainable, but it's not really.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's upsetting because you are comparing my handmade item with
something else,
another commercially produced, you know, tote bag or a beanie, you know, that could be machine made or whatever, and you cannot compare it like. It's the
that
same
way, yeah. And I also want to state that these hours that I'm stating is only if it's worked in basic stitches only.
Yeah, we're not even talking about something complex.
Yeah, we're not even talking about working in complicated stitch patterns. And keep in mind, the certain stitch patterns use up more yarn.
Mm-hmm.
So I will need to use a lot more yarn than what was originally stated, and it will take me more time because it's a more complex stitch. Like, say, for example, the Catherine's Wheel.
You know, yeah, and the funny thing
is, or the Star Stitch.
Is people want this complicated and fancy designs and patterns, right?
But
they don't want the simple, single, double crochet.
So if I work my bag up in double crochet for you, a tote bag in standard double crochet, it's not as fun, right? It looks a bit boring, it's a bit plain.
Yeah.
Nobody wants a top that's just in regular double crochet. In fact, but all my tops are done in double crochet for me personally, because I just don't have the patience for anything else. And so even in that case, if you want a more complicated stitch pattern, you have to be prepared to pay more. And if you're going to send me a picture of something else, oftentimes they send me a picture of like a macrame bag.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, you know, something else, I don't know what, or knitted sweater, and I have to recreate that in crochet. I basically am writing a pattern from scratch.
Yeah.
Even if you go to a tailor, they charge you a pattern fee.
Yeah, like the drafting fee.
They charge you a drafting fee for any clothing you want. Then after that, whatever you do, they just, you've already paid for the pattern, so you can just repeat that pattern over and over again. But if you want to adjust that pattern, then you pay. Or if you want a brand new pattern, you pay for it. So there's an initial cost. But a lot of crochet artists don't pay you for that drafting pattern when they first sit down to decide and discuss, because every single piece is so unique. And that's the beauty of crochet.
Yeah.
And yet people don't see how complex, how wonderfully complex crochet is.
Yeah, really. And I think I want to mention also that, you know, working in, at least for myself, you know, a beginner, working in very simple stitches like double crochet and things like that, and I'm already having so much issue with the tension and keeping it consistent. You know, think about a more complex and complicated stitch. And you, if that's what you want, then you cannot help but find somebody who is experienced, who, you know, does have that knowledge to be able to keep that pattern consistent and stitch consistent for anything to look nice, you know, at the end of the day. And the bigger the project, the more, you know, like the moment there's some inconsistency, it's going to be so obvious.
And you guys know, like, when you come back to projects after a couple of days, if you're if you're feeling stressed that day, your tension will be tighter. If you're more relaxed that day, your tension will be looser.
Yeah.
Where you sit plays a part. Like, if you're not sitting in your standard chair to crochet in, you're not comfortable in your body, it translates into your stitch tension. And there are so many factors that come into play that make stitch tension very difficult to get even. So the more experienced the person is, the more you guarantee an even piece of work.
Yeah, exactly.
And that comes only with experience. So if you want, if you approach somebody and say, "Hi, I'm crocheting me a scarf," and you know this person, and you know they, or at least maybe they tell you, "I have 10 years of experience. I'm going to charge you this amount, because if you don't want my price, go find somebody else." You know, I would never say that, but I want to.
So
I'm too polite to. But the point is that if they tell you that, you respect that.
Yeah, correct.
And if you, it's too much for you, just politely decline and say, "Yes, I understand, but it's a bit out of my budget."
Yeah.
Crochet artists or people are willing to understand. They are willing to come up with some sort of payment plan for you if that's what you're willing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you could pay X amount a week, and then when everything is done, then they would give you your work. It basically, anything can be worked out if only you communicate that.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's just my biggest frustration. Now, I do want to share a little bit more about for us here at Cricut Crochet, how much we charge for clothing and how much we charge for whatever. And I already think that we're a little bit more expensive than our competitors, and yet the amount is like, this was the portion that was really depressing for me, to see what we were actually earning. So let me just give you an example, and maybe it'll be easier to calculate it backwards this way. So for us, for me and Mel, when we get a order or commission for a crochet top, we charge about $70 for the most basic kinds of crochet top. So just a basic plain t-shirt that is done up in double crochet, no fuss, no nothing regular, nothing extra, nothing fancy, right? So we charge about $70, and this is, it's obviously not how much we want to charge it, but we know that on average, this is the amount that people want to pay. And based on experience, anything more than $70, people are not willing to pay.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, $70 is what we price the basic ones at. So, obviously, the more you add, the more expensive it will be. But the starting cost of a regular basic double crochet one is at $70. So, let's see. If we take away the cost of materials, that's $25 that we take away. And we take away 400 grams of yarn, that's $40. So, $70, we take away $25, we take away $40 for the yarn, we are left with $5.
$5, yeah.
So let's say, let's not remove the $25. Let's add the $25 back in, and let's treat the cost of our materials, our tools, as sunk cost.
Right.
And sunk cost just basically means cost that you've put out, like operating cost that you don't want to transfer onto your customer. So it's kind of like the initial capital investment. So these would be what we consider sunk costs. So $70, the $25, let's not do anything with it. That's minus $40 for the
materials
for the yarn.
Yeah.
We are now left with $30. So a $70 top that we charge, we are earning $30 for it. Let's not even talk about all the marketing. Let's not talk about shipping. Let's not talk about anything.
Let's just ignore the rest of the other costs.
Let's just say we finish making this top and it magically appears in your house, in your hands. Okay? Yeah. So $30 is what we will take home. Now this top is going to take me 20 hours to make in total. So if I take $30, I divide this by all the 20 hours, I end up earning only $1.50 per hour.
$1.50.
$1.50. And this 20 hours is me working as quick as I can.
Like, yeah.
8 hours a day pushing it.
Yeah.
And I'm earning $1.50 per hour. That is insane. So I can't wrap my brain around that amount.
Yeah.
Because if I sit here and think, if you were to tell me now, make something in the next 1 hour and I will pay you $1.50 for it in the next hour.
Yeah.
I will never in a million years say yes.
And yet
I do it with the top.
Yeah. And we have not even included based on your experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if we are talking, or like you mentioned, I'm just hiring somebody to do manual labor for this.
Yeah.
Nobody's willing to take $1.50 per hour for that amount of work as well.
Even somebody working at like McDonald's is earning like $7-$8 an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and your $1.50 encompasses 10 years of experience with me working with sometimes, you know, oftentimes really difficult materials because that's what the customer requires. So obviously, whatever additional fancy yarn and material they want, I charge them accordingly. But on average, $70 is like a good number.
To start off with, yeah.
To start off or to illustrate this. That's how much we start pricing things from.
Yeah.
And anything extra just goes to cover the cost. So it's important to me and Mel that we can charge it low, but we cannot operate at a loss or this business would close down. So if we have to earn a dollar, we'll earn that $1, but we cannot be working in deficit. And that's just good business practice, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But to think about me working on this top to be earning $1.50 per hour is insane. And let me know, you know, send me a message on Instagram. Let me know how much you charge for a regular, you know, a V-necked
top,
double crochet top, a standard medium size one, for example. Because I do charge extra for an XL or X or double XL or 2 or 3 XL. I will charge for extra materials on top of that. But people don't understand that.
Yeah, and this is just charging extra based on more material that you're using. We are not even talking about the additional time that takes you to mm-hmm. complete it, you know.
So let's give you another example, something else that I've received commissions for. Let's say I've received a commission for a short summer dress. So it's basically like an elongated t-shirt, like a summer dress, yeah, right? Yeah. So for this one, I will charge $250 because it takes a lot of material and it takes a lot more time. So the complexity and the scale of the project is a lot larger. And of course, with a blouse, it's not so difficult because if it's a little bit lacy, you can always wear a camisole underneath.
Mm-hmm.
But a dress, I cannot afford to do that. I have to have really tight weave and really tight tension so that you don't see what's under your dress.
Right, of course.
So I charge my dress at $250 on average. And if it's a dress, it's not likely to be a simple one. So the stitch pattern won't be a double crochet, it will be a little bit more complex. So on general, $250 is what I'll charge. Now a dress, a short summer dress, would take me 10 balls of yarn.
So 10 balls, okay.
10 balls of 100 grams. So let's say that, you know, that is $100. So I take $250, I take away $100 for materials cost alone. And mind you, we're being very, very generous with the cost price of the yarn. Because usually, for clothing, I'm charging in cotton and it will not be $10 per ball of yarn.
Yeah.
It will be at least $20 per ball.
Mm.
Maybe 15 to 20. So I'm left with $150. Now this dress is going to take me 60 hours to complete.
Right.
So if I take 60 hours divided by $150, obviously we've stopped adding the $25 for the cost of the crochet
hooks,
right?
The tools, yeah.
That works out to about $2.50 per hour.
Uh-huh.
So okay. Slightly better, but at what cost?
Yeah.
Because it's a way bigger project,
you're
it's a larger scale.
It. Yeah.
I'm working for more hours because the more hours I spend on your project, the less hours I spend on another project.
Right. Because you have to commit to this.
Yeah, yeah, and you are paying more for the opportunity cost that's at my expense. So, to put things in perspective, if you were to earn $2.50 at a 9-to-5 job, you would be earning $160 a month to work about 40 hours.
Okay, yeah.
$160 a week. That would work out to $400 a month. Would you be content to earn $400 a month at a 9-to-5 job that would take you almost the same amount? If you put things in perspective this way, it really changes my view on things. It really alters how I see things.
Yeah.
And I feel a little bit more confident in saying, I'm going to charge you this amount and here's why.
Yeah, exactly.
But then again, I feel like in order to explain why, I need to send them 2 podcast episodes and they have to sit through, you know, what's this? 2 hours worth of us talking
for them to understand
why it costs so much.
Yeah.
Nobody would do that. Therefore, nobody would listen. Therefore, they would just reject us right off the bat. And then we won't get the project. And then our business will fall because nobody ever wants to pay a crochet artist what they're worth.
Which is very sad, you know. And I think this is the reason why a lot of crochet artists or craft people don't even think about including the cost or the value of their labor or their work mm-hmm. that they put into the cost or the retail price of the items, right? Yeah. They just probably calculate the cost of the materials and the tools and whatever, and there you go.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Or what they do is they just sell patterns. But, you know, and I do have some people asking me, do I sell patterns and why don't I sell patterns? And I don't see anything necessarily wrong with it. I believe that there should be 2 kinds of crochet artists out there. One that only sells patterns and one that would take that patterns and create it into something mm-hmm. and then sell it to the consumer and split the profit. I believe it should be done this way. Because here's my diagnosis of the situation. Crochet artists who, in order to survive, because they are forced to survive, create patterns to sell, mm-hmm. you know, at like $5 or $10. And it's a recurring cost, right? Because it's a PDF that you can download and you can sell it over and over again. So your $20 or $10 for that one pattern can be sold over and over. So you could end up potentially earning a lot more as opposed to making something. But the problem is, it's being bought by people with not much experience in crochet. They buy the pattern, they create that one piece, and then they think they can do it. And when they see somebody else like us being me and you and all our listeners, when they see somebody like us who actually do this for a living, who spend our time perfecting and crafting how to put together crochet garments and, you know, figuring out the perfect way of learning how to modify shit, right?
Yeah.
Because it's not just about following a pattern, it's learning how to modify them. These people now propagate the idea that, oh, I could do it too, and I don't have to pay you for this amount because then I can do it. Or, hey, I know a friend who can do it. She can do it because she did something like that for herself.
Yeah, like I can crochet too, you know.
Yeah, or my grandmother can, or my mom can do it for me,
it's
you know.
It's not so difficult.
Yeah. And so it creates the problem that I think we're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I believe that the crochet artists, the people who create patterns, need to work exclusively with people who make those, who take those patterns and are willing to spend the time. So if you're willing to spend the brains, the mental effort on it, you create the pattern. If you're not willing to spend that mental effort and you just want to take somebody's work and crochet it to sell, then you focus on the creating of it. But I think it's very dangerous when we start selling patterns, or people who buy patterns who think that now just because they've created one piece of garment, oh, it's not too bad, I've done it, you know, I did this one thing, I spent like 20 hours, but because it's an experience, it's still like a novelty feeling. So they don't, it doesn't quite register how much more work it goes in when now you need to market and sell this on a larger scale to more people with different body types and different requirements and different lifestyles and different, you know, different areas who want different materials and colors and all these other things that become a part of it.
But on the other side, on the other hand, I do feel that there is a really small percentage of people who, you know, started off doing, like, learning how to crochet like this and realizing the difficulty and how much effort it goes into it, and then start really appreciating the craft. And
but that's a very small percentage.
Yeah, it is a small percentage.
On average, not everybody is like that.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And the people who do end up becoming like that end up becoming crochet artists themselves down the road, I feel.
I see. Yeah.
You know, but then again, what choice do these crochet artists have if nobody's willing to pay? They can only make patterns to sell. So they are kind of forced by the market now to pigeonhole themselves into something, because anything else would cost too much.
Yeah,
and they know nobody will pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, and small businesses like us, like, we support a family based on the support that we get from you guys, right?
Yeah.
So it's a slippery slope. And it's a frustrating one because, you know, at the end of the day, I blame it to the lack of information in the general population.
As well,
in the general public.
For
because,
sure.
Because they don't know it, they think it's so easy. You know, it's like ignorance is bliss almost, right?
Yeah.
If you don't know it, you think everything is easy. But the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And that's always that cycle, right? The more you know, the more you don't know.
Yeah.
So That's my two cents worth on it.
And I agree, you know, as crochet artists, I think you find joy in creating and in crafting, and, you know, that's the reason why you started in the first place. And it's sad when, you know, the market forces you to, you know, probably you only be able to continue if you do things like only
patterns.
Making patterns, you know, or other things that can make you a profit, but not what you really love doing, you know.
And if you're somebody like me that likes a variety or likes diversity of things, oops, sorry, there was me hitting the table. It's very difficult for us to only do one thing and to specialize only in one thing, because the world of crochet is so diverse and most people do a variety of things. So not just pouches, but clothing, and not just clothing alone, but clothing and something else and something else and something else. And the ones that I've noticed that make it a little bit that make it bigger specialize in one thing,
right?
And that's, you know, it's, I think it's also based on what the society or like the community has, not our community, but like the general population has sort of forced us into this niche. It's either you're niched in something in the world of crochet, like, for example, tapestry bags or, you know, micro crochet or something.
Yeah.
It's either you're niched in that or you're just a basic general crochet brand.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really sad, because people should support you for your creativity of work.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree to that entirely.
Regardless of what you're doing. Yeah. You know, like, if you like for me, I have abstract artists, painters that I really enjoy, and I follow them because of their creativity, and whatever work they produce, I follow them and their style, you know, so that's how I view things in the crochet world. So I think this has really become a long episode. I'm sorry if the mood sort of shifted, like, a little bit more serious in this episode. We were a little bit more solemn. Is solemn the word? I don't think, but
yeah,
I don't think solemn as well, but maybe we're more serious.
Yeah.
But because I think we're presenting numbers, real numbers, it really dawns or highlights the just how much we are crochet artists and artists in general.
Yes, yeah, I think it's important to define that, yeah.
And I have been, it's something I studied in university, in college, because I went to an arts college, and it's something that I studied as arts management. And it's just frustrating to see that something that I struggled with and am studying and have studied and have, you know, worked together with, you know, bigger organizations as started non-profit organizations in the arts world to help combat this concept that arts is not worth paying for. It's really frustrating to see that, like, 15 years later, it's still the same issue going on. And I can only talk about my perspective in Singapore. So if it's different for you in whatever region of the world you are in, I mean, feel free to send me a message. I'd love to know
more
how the other cultures art, you know, how the other cultures celebrate art and support the art, and, you know, how the other governments provide funding to the art, because in Singapore, it's very, very
limited
and very little. And no matter how much we fight for the right of artists to be seen and for our needs to be heard, and you know, for priority to be placed on the artistic world, it's just not happening as fast as the way we want to, or it's not happening in ways that we want to. So it's either, you know, and this is something I talked about, I don't know whether it's in this episode, but I talk about it in my personal life all the time. The government here is like, I will support your art if you write, you know, propaganda for it.
Right. I think, to be specific.
I think propaganda is quite a strong word, but basically our government would sponsor or support your art if your art depicts, you know, like local cultural things that they want you to depict.
Right. Right.
You know, don't even think about LGBT. Don't even think about, you know, any human rights issue. Don't even think of any of that.
Yeah.
You can only promote what they want you to promote. Yeah. Or like racial diversity and whatever, which I understand, yes. But it's that or nothing at all, which is incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, and we are talking about art here, you know, where we always, like, art equals like sort of like creativity. So when you put such a restriction on it, it does it, you know, what are you doing to the art, right?
And they put such restrictions on it, yes, and that actually creates more creative artists. But the thing about creativity is that you push the boxes. You push the box with creativity. You go outside the box.
Yeah.
But then the more creative we are, because you put us in a box, the more you disapprove of the ideas we come out with.
Uh-huh,
so it's a vicious cycle.
Right, right.
You know, they only want to fund art in the way that they know and in the way that they appreciate the art that they approve of. So don't even think about performance art. Don't even think about that. You know, just... And performance art and performing arts are not the same thing. So performance art really takes a stand, takes a social political stand. And don't even think about it.
At least not here, yeah.
So... Anyway, we've come to the end of this episode. I know it's been a really long episode. Thank you guys for sticking with us so far. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me, or if you want to share your perspective on how, you know, your crochet community could be improved, or if you find the same issue in your community, whether, you know, people are willing to pay, or do you come from a more supportive environment, or maybe you don't, like us, I don't know. Feel free to reach out to me and share a little bit more. It always helps me when I see things from different people's perspective, and I really enjoy that as well.
Yeah.
So send me your questions or comments if you have any. You can find us on Instagram or Facebook. We are at Crooked Crochet SG. Or you can WhatsApp that to me at +65 91 272 743. But if that is not long enough, you can send me an email. We are crookedcrochetsg@gmail.com.
Yeah, share your stories, share your experiences, and maybe we can talk about it as well and discuss, you know, your experience. And if you don't mind letting us share, you can let us know.
You can let us know. And I'd love to read out some of your responses.
Yeah.
And we can have a little bit of a discussion with it, because this is where I thrive, you know, listening to different perspectives and trying to understand it and trying to see how things differ from where I am. And, you know, I really enjoy, you know, some intellectual debate this way. So send me your messages. I'm waiting for them. And don't forget to check us out this Saturday and Sunday at Public Garden.
Yeah, especially to our local Singaporean.
Oh yeah, oh, if you're based in Singapore. Yeah. We will be at Suntec City Convention Hall 404 from the 11th of June to 12th of June. That's Saturday and Sunday from 1 p.m. till 7 p.m. So catch us there, and we will see you in the next episode.
Yes, hope to see you guys. Bye.
Bye.